2024. We have five of our six commissioners this evening. Mr. Wimmer may be joining us, and if he does, he'll help us with our proceedings. I'd like to also welcome the members of the community and applicants who have joined us this evening. We always appreciate your participation. It definitely helps us make better decisions when we've got input from the community as well as our applicants. Our first item this evening is to approve our agenda as published. Are there any changes, staff, that you feel are needed? Okay. Then I'll move that we approve our agenda as published.
I will second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Our next item is to approve our minutes from the March 26, 2024 Planning Commission meeting. I'd like to thank Commissioner Gedge for running that meeting. There was just one note as far as meeting attendees. Mr. Gedge will be added to that, but that was the only item I saw. Any other comments on the meeting minutes? Okay, then I will move. I'm actually going to let somebody who was present make that motion.
Madam Chair, I move to approve the minutes with the correction as noted by Commissioner Holst.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Commissioner. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, staff, what business do you have for us this evening?
Nothing that I know of.
All right. That's easy. Okay.
If something comes up during the meeting, we can do it at the end. But I don't...
Sounds great. All right, Planning Commission members, any comments from this body? Okay. Any... looking forward, anybody that will be missing upcoming meetings? Okay. All right, then with that, this is easy. We'll move on. We'll jump right into our administrative public hearings. For the benefit of those present, for each of the items that we have this evening on our agenda, the staff will present us the evidence that they've put together for that item. The applicant will have an opportunity to add any information that they see fit. We'll have a public comment in which any member that's joined us this evening, both in person and online, may address the commission. You'll have 3 minutes to present evidence on that particular item. For those that are online, we ask that you enable both your video and audio features on your Zoom call so that we may see who's addressing us. We also ask those that address the commission that you state your name and where you reside for our records. And with that, our first administrative public item this evening is the mix at South Jordan subdivision site plan. And Demir has our staff report.
Yes, thank you. You've seen this project a couple of times before. It came before you as a zone change and then as a preliminary subdivision. The project is located as 11147 South Redwood Road. This is the site. As you can see, it's unimproved. It's about 2.5 acres. The zoning is RMPD. A zone change was approved back in August of 2023, along with the development agreement. The agreement is attached to the report in front of you. This is the proposed site plan. As you can see, they have access of Bexted and there's access of Redwood. The roads in the subdivision are private. They're privately owned and maintained. As you can see, there are two commercial buildings fronting Redwood, and then the rest of the site is occupied by 21 townhome units. As for landscaping, there are various trees and shrubs. Most of the ground cover consists of rock mulch. The only place to have any turf is the active recreational area. These are building elevations, these are residential buildings, and then these are the two commercial buildings up against Redwood. Architectural Review Committee reviewed the application back in February of 24, and they recommended approval. And with that, I'll turn it over to you, commissioners.
Demir, what percentage of land is allowed to be covered in this type of zoning, and does this meet that?
Covered as in?
Covered with asphalt, covered with building. Isn't there a limit in most zones? Or does their water retention?
In residential, but not in, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I can't get my notes to open, but I'm pretty sure this was the item where I wanted to ask about the water retention. Will there be an HOA that governs those moving forward? I know that it said a private entity, but who will long-term be responsible for those? And is there any chance that in the future the city would have to take over that responsibility?
I don't see it happening. The stormwater is going to be maintained by privately by DHOA.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that happening in the future? City taking over, maybe? I don't see it happening, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't see it happening, but there is a process where HOAs can petition to the city for consideration to become a public improvement. But there's a process in the code where they can go petition for that, but it's a process that would require like city manager, city council approval.
Okay. There was also a note about parking, and it sounded like the residential homes would have access to the commercial parking outside of business hours. Were those business hours defined?
No.
Okay. That's just up to them privately to... Okay. All right, that's all I had, commissioners.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. So this might be for Jeremy. So in the notes, to follow up on the stormwater, the drainage system, I believe it says it will collect to a drainage system underneath Beckstead Lane. It was in the staff report. Can you just inform us what that is? Is it like a really large sewer pipe that collects that runoff water? And where does that flow to, that drainage system underneath Beckstead Lane?
I don't have that map up. Give me just 2 seconds to pull that up.
That was my only. Well, sorry, while he's looking that up, the other thing is just, Demir, you mentioned that was heard by the Architectural Review Committee in February, but if I believe in the minutes, it was also heard the previous meeting as well, and there was a correction. And it looks like, and this might be for Mr. Wimmer, because I believe he attended that meeting, were no concerns with what was corrected from the January to the February meeting. Sorry, I'm trying to stall here while Jeremy looks up my first question. And while he's doing that, I know there's going to be two businesses fronting Redwood Road. Of course, the hours have been answered will be private, but do we know what type of businesses will be encompassing those buildings? What type of, I guess, use or... buildings, and I'm distracting Demir from helping Jeremy with my first question, but
okay.
You know what type of uses will be in those two commercial buildings that front Redwood Road?
Not at the moment.
Not at the moment, okay. No. But if it did require a conditional use, then it'd have to come back to us for that, yes. But if it's permitted, it would not.
Okay, sorry about that, Commissioner Gedge. So the water, much of the water is going to be detained in underground stormwater chambers. And then what is released out into Beckstead Lane goes into a pipe that flows to the north and then eventually flows to the east down 11030 south. And then it goes into a drainage, into a little creek right by Cody Circle, right off 1300 West. That's
okay.
an existing system. And the storm drain pipe is 18 inches big. It's has plenty of capacity to handle.
And we probably have similar types of funneling throughout the city that...
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
No. See, maybe we can get some training hours today because of that question. That's all I have, Madam Chair.
Any other questions for staff?
Just one for my own enlightenment. On the first page of the report, it says that the northern neighbor has an MU-B, zone... And that isn't listed in the city code. I was just wondering what that is exactly.
It's from the times past. It doesn't exist anymore.
Okay.
Mixed use village.
Yeah. Ah, okay. Yeah, thank you.
We had it. How many years has it been, Greg? Do you remember?
I think it's been since 2013, about 2013-14, it was eliminated from the code. But there are... projects that have that zoning.
Okay.
Steve's got a question. Go ahead.
Demir, under item 10 or section 10 in the developer agreement, it talks about this agreement shall not extend further than a period of 10 years from the date of recordation. Does that mean that anything that can be developed on that, or does that still restrict what's able to be developed? Is it more about that it has to be implemented within 10 years?
It expires in 10 years if nothing is done, so that agreement goes away. But within the 10-year period, they have to do what's in the agreement, basically.
Okay, but then someone can't come in after that and then change it after in 10 years.
They would have to.
I mean, they have to go through the process.
But
it's not like automatically expiring after 10 years. It's still in force. Okay, for that part. Okay, thanks. That part.
Okay. I know it wasn't very long ago that we saw this preliminary plat. Has the final plat recorded at this point?
It hasn't yet.
Okay. And then I know we already asked about parking, but is there a shared parking agreement or is that just part of the development agreement?
There's going to be a note on the plat. We kind of discussed it, whether we should have an agreement, an actual agreement, or just put a note on the plat. And for simplicity, we're just going to put a note on the plat.
Okay. And then I remember in the original, before we got to plat, in some of the original hearings, there was some talk about the buildings that faced Beckstead, and those buildings were agreed to not have decks. I don't see anything on the elevations that show that. I just want to confirm that the building that's facing Beckstead will not have rooftop decks.
That did not make it into the agreement, so I don't know if the applicant has more information on that.
Okay, I'll ask them.
Because that's something that I did look for in the agreement, but the agreement doesn't contain any of that.
Okay. That's all I have for staff.
Okay, is the applicant present? And would you like to add anything to the staff report? Maybe you can answer Ms. Bevan's question while you're up here as well.
Hello, Justin Jones with Civil Science. I'm the applicant and also the engineer. We appreciate all the work that's been done over the last couple of years to get this project to this point and concur with staff's recommendations. And I'm here to answer any questions. As far as the question about the units adjacent to Beckstead, we did talk about that. It went back and forth, and I believe the result was we raised the wall on those decks to be higher to restrict views, I think was what came out of that discussion.
Without exceeding the 35-foot limit, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, we're still under the required limits.
Commissioner's yep. Questions for the applicant while he's here? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
At this time, I'm going to open this item to public comment. If you've joined us this evening to speak to this item, we'd invite you to come to the podium at this time. You'll have 3 minutes to present the evidence that you've brought this evening. Go ahead.
Good evening. My name is Chris Rollins. I'm the owner of the land to the southeast of this development with the cutout. So I appreciate a lot of the things I see in here, the privacy trees, things like that. I had a question similar to Commissioner Bevan's about the end units, the ones that would overlook my property. Same thing. I think there aren't any rooftop decks on those.
So if you'll ask. If you'll ask your questions, I'll note them and I'll make sure that they get answered after public.
Comments. I'm sorry. That was part of my questions. I'm looking on page 19 and I don't see stairs leading up to the end units. So that's why I'm asking. I just confirming that it looks like it. And sorry, I know some of these may need to be addressed to the developer and that's fine. I can talk to them after as well. There was a note also on the plat, that might impact me that I had a question about, which is the fence along the south side. It mentions there's a water line underneath and that the fence will be moved 5 feet away. I'm not sure if that refers to the fence or just the footings for the fence that might interfere with the water line. So that's a question if that would mean that fence is going to be moved closer to those buildings and if that would imply as well as that water line cuts across if that what does that mean that water line has to be 5 feet away from the fence? And then I had, I think my other questions would be best addressed to Mr. Salt, and the developer, but that's all I had. Like I said, I appreciate the steps that they've taken to make sure that the property works with my intended use of building a house there. So that's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Rollins. Are there others that have joined us to speak to this item tonight? I'm not thinking so. So we'll go to our Zoom platform. If you'd like to address the commission and you've joined us online, we just ask that you turn on your camera and give us a wave. And I'll give you the floor. All right, I'm not seeing anybody online. So I'm going to close the public comment and bring it back to the commission. So I think we probably need the applicant to answer those two questions. Would you mind coming up and answering with any information you have about the end units, their balconies, location of stairs, and then the question about the fence on the south side?
Yeah, so the end units, similarly, we're gonna have that taller parapet wall around the outdoor balconies to shield Mr. Rollins' property as well. And then as far as that comment on the water line, it was a kind of a last minute comment from staff, realizing that there is an existing water line that runs down that property line. Across our frontage, it is closer to the property line than across Mr. Rollins's frontage. So by the time it gets to his property, it kind of veers back to the south. So to answer his question, potentially our wall will need to shift north. We haven't worked through that yet. We need to get blue stakes marked and actual locations identified. But there is a potential that that wall will need to shift to the north along our frontage.
So further into your property?
To the north, correct.
Okay.
But I believe once it gets to his property, any fencing that he would put up, I believe, would likely be 5 feet away, but I can't confirm that 100%. But it does veer to the south as that water line gets closer to Beckstead.
Okay, commissioners?
Sorry, not for the applicant, it'll be for staff to follow up on that comment.
Anything for the applicant while he's up here? Okay, thank you very much.
You bet.
All right, go ahead.
Just to follow up on that comment, so if there does need to be a fence line adjustment, can that be handled administratively or will it, for the fourth time, come before us?
No, it doesn't have to come back.
Okay, great. I just wanted to confirm the process on that.
Anything? Steve? No. Okay. I feel like this product that we've been presented this evening matches the intent of the master development agreement that City Hall or the City Council approved. I do appreciate the applicants working with the city over time to create a product that fit in this area. And so I don't see any issues with approving this as presented this evening. Any other comments? If not, I'm ready for a motion.
I'll turn my mic on so you guys can hear me. I know this is probably what, the fifth or sixth time we've seen this now, so it's a completely different product from the first time we saw it. So I think we all definitely appreciate the work and the time that went into this from staff and the applicant. I don't love the balconies on Beckstead. I know that was a really big issue for some of the neighbors across, but I do appreciate that you've made the walls higher to kind of shield them from that. So I don't see that as a reason to not approve this, and I'm definitely okay approving it and appreciate all of the changes and effort made to make this a safer community for the people that live there.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a motion, please.
Please.
Based on the staff report this evening's discussion and that the master development agreement has been satisfied, I move that we, the Planning Commission, approve the mix at South Jordan site plan file number PLSPR 2023-00200, allowing for construction of two commercial buildings and 21 townhome units.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there any discussion?
I do have a question on that. Do we need to include on that motion like the other amenities, like the tot lot? I know it's...
Are they included in what's been in the packet?
When it says the construction of two commercial buildings and 21 units, where the tot lot is called out specifically of having to be completed first. It might be, if we even reference the development agreement, the plan, or something in that motion, I think it would be clearer.
I did, at the beginning, reference that the master.
Oh, you did.
Development agreement is satisfied.
Okay, I'm good.
Want to second it?
I will second that motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Catmull. Ms. Valdez? Okay. Commissioner Gitch?
Aye.
Commissioner Catmull?
Aye.
Commissioner Bishop?
Yes.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
Commissioner Wimmer?
Aye.
And Commissioner Barnes?
Yes.
Okay. This item passes 6-0. Mr. Jones, we wish you luck with this project and look forward to seeing it come to fruition. All right, our next item this evening is the Dollar Tree site plan application, and Miguel has our staff report.
Thank you. So this is going to be a Dollar Tree store that's going to be built on this property here just next or south adjacent to the Sportsman Warehouse and the Harvest Shopping Commercial Center where the Costco is. This is the current zoning, community commercial. It follows the zoning guidelines. So this is the site plan of the building with parking planned to the west. And this is the landscaping plan. The landscaping plan does follow the city's code for landscaping, and much of it is already existing, especially next to River Heights Drive. That area is already landscaped. These are the elevations for the store. So it follows the color concepts of Dollar Tree's general brand colors. And it doesn't show any signage, but it will have its own application for that in the future. And some parking is already existing on the property, approximately exactly 6 stalls, and they need a total of 50, but they're gonna have 55 when it's complete. So they're gonna have enough parking on there. And the elevations reviewed by the Architectural Review Committee on March 27th, 2024, and they were recommended, or they received a positive recommendation from them. And so with that, staff recommends approval of this site plan for the Dollar Tree.
Okay, thank you. Commissioners, questions for staff? Was that a yes or no?
No, I'm okay.
I've got a question.
Yes, please.
Yeah, I see that the plan includes bike racks, and I'm curious what kind of guidance that the city provides in terms of their form and number, anything like that.
I'm not sure that we have a standard for bike racks, at least not that I'm aware. Do you know?
No, we don't. We've never had a standard on that. We have in the past, I guess, you know, mentioned that it's a nice thing to have, but they're not required to have any bike racks at this point. But so the stores, and there's bike racks that here in the around down by Harmon's and so forth, and those, there are some bike racks that are located there. So it's been going on for a while, but we don't have a specific standard of what their form is or anything like that.
Okay. And would that be under the like an engineering or planning sort of purview?
I would imagine part of it would be under in planning. Mainly is not so much requiring them, but maybe what they look like, if they were gonna be architecturally, the features or something like that would look, and how many, but we don't have any standard that we know of necessarily that would require a specific number of bike racks for any particular business. And I don't know if that comes forward, it would probably be placed in the planning somewhere in Title 17. In the commercial zones, if that's good, if that would be a requirement or not. Just like, I don't think it would be in the parking section because that's in Title 16, but bike racks would probably be found somewhere in the plan. I'm not sure where we put it.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Kedge or Catmull? Okay. Is the applicant present? Would you like to add anything to the staff report?
No.
Okay. Then I will open it up to public comment. If you've joined us this evening to address the commission on this item, we invite you to come forward. Let's go to Zoom. If you've joined us online and would like to speak to this item, we just ask that you turn on your camera and give us a wave. Okay. We'll close public comment and bring it back to the commission. Commissioners, Questions, discussion? This is obviously a commercial area. I don't see why this wouldn't be an appropriate fit to that area.
Yeah, I don't. You know, the only potential concern I would have would be maybe increased traffic, but with this size of a commercial bit use, I don't see an impact of River Heights or Southbourne Parkway, so I have no concerns. And
I will just mention that it looks dramatically better than the excess amount of green we saw at the first architectural review committee. So, well done.
I have a question. My stuff is not loading. It keeps reloading, so I can't look at this myself, but which way is the building oriented? Are they opening to the south or to the west, like the front?
Yeah, it's going to be oriented to the west. Okay. Parking is also going to be directly in front of that to the west, so okay. The backside of the building is going to be facing River Heights Drive.
Okay.
I actually do have a question for the applicant. You may need to come to the podium. I'm so sorry. Sure. So there is a Dollar Tree currently existing in South Jordan, not too far from this. Will that store remain open? Will this be in addition to that?
We do not have that information this time.
Okay. I think that's all I have.
Madam Chair,
are you talking about the one that's been on Bangor?
No.
On Redwood, on 100 Redwood, 104th.
Just if you can give his name.
Oh, I'm
we
so
said
sorry.
Applicant, so just for the record.
What'd you
Michael.
Say? Please. First of all,
Michael Walker.
Okay, thank you.
Keep us legal.
Thank you.
I believe this is, there was one on 98th South by Bangor. I think this is taking that.
Okay.
Yeah, that was removed as Bangor was expanded.
Okay. All right, thank you, Mr. Walker. Commissioners, any further discussion? Okay, I'm ready for a motion then.
I'll try it. Okay, I'll make it. Based on our discussion tonight, I move that the Planning Commission approve the site plan application file number PLSPR2023-00203 to allow for construction of the new standalone Dollar Tree in the C-C zone at 10494 South River Heights Drive.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have any discussion? Okay, we have a second. Nope, that's okay.
I'll move this along.
That's
good.
Ms. Who seconded it?
Mr. Bishop.
Okay. Okay. Commissioner Bevins?
Yes.
Commissioner Bishop?
Yes.
Commissioner Getch?
Aye.
Commissioner Catwell?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
And Commissioner Warner?
Aye.
Okay, that passes 6-0. Mr. Walker, thank you for joining us this evening and being available to answer questions. We wish you luck with your new building. All right, our last item under administrative public hearings this evening is a conditional use permit for a new hot yoga studio. And Miguel has our staff report again.
So this is gonna be this is a conditional use permit for a new yoga studio in an existing building. This building is just off Jordan Gateway by the freeway. So the space in there is room one or suite 100, and they're going to, in a sense, make some cosmetic changes to the interior to convert it into a yoga studio, including bathrooms, men's and women's locker rooms, some laundry space, and some other rooms needed for them. They will have 4,600 square feet of space. Hours of operation are Monday through Friday from 5:30 a.m. to 10 p.m., and then Saturday and Sunday from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. As far as parking, so for the use here, the required parking is 23 stalls, but as you can see in the picture, they have hundreds from which to choose from on that site, so there's plenty of parking there. And without the CUP, the applicant would not be able to have this business here because CUP is required for it, so they would not be able to obtain a business license from the city. And so with that, staff recommends approval of this conditional use permit for the hot yoga studio.
Could you clarify what you mean they wouldn't be able to receive a business license?
So the use here requires a conditional use permit from the city. So if they don't have that, the use is not permitted.
Okay. So Miguel, a question on that. So if this were a company putting this in as a benefit, would they still have to have a conditional use permit if they weren't operating it as a separate? Sorry, if they weren't operating this as a separate business and instead a business that was operating in this building also was offering it to their employees, would they still have to get the conditional use permit?
So they would need to get the conditional use permit regardless if they want to have it on the site. It's just a requirement in terms of, I didn't really understand the second part of your question.
I think no, it would not require a conditional use permit if it's an amenity provided by an existing, like if South Jordan City wanted to provide hot yoga to our employees, would not need a conditional use permit because it's an accessory use to an already permitted use. So that wouldn't be required. But in this case, they're occupying a building that has other businesses in it, but it's not, those businesses have nothing to do with this application, though.
It's going to be open to the public. Okay.
Right.
Great. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I'll jump in. Miguel, sorry, I can't load the report, and my page I printed doesn't have it. Can you tell me what the current zone of this parcel is?
Yeah, so the current zoning is commercial freeway. It's this one in purple here. And so that's the entire area over there. And
great. No, thank you for displaying that. And then I guess the next question is, so we're considering a conditional use permit for this use, and that is a very large lot. I'm assuming it's about, what, 5 acres?
Eight acres.
And so would this be a singular conditional use, or could multiple hot yoga studios, come to this property under the single permit that we're considering this evening?
I don't know. Can they, Greg?
Or would it just be unit number 100?
Yeah. Because usually when we've done conditional use permits, it's gone with the parcel that we're considering, and that's a very large parcel.
But we see every restaurant in a strip mall, like, separately.
Okay. But usually we just see that one unit outlined in our...
So, but is this number 100 a unit?
So I guess that's the question.
You don't want to see a hot yoga zone there?
Well, you know.
As far as the eye can see for 8 acres.
or what other similarly permitted uses fall under that same conditional use permit?
That's the right answer. Sorry.
It's a good question. If a second one or a third one and so forth come in there and they're required to have a conditional use permit, they still have, or if they're not, either way, they still have to meet the requirements for that use. Like, they have to have a circulation? They have a parking and circulation plan. They have to have a operations plan, regardless of whether it's permitted or conditional. So that's what they'd have to do. And I think this is the first and only hot yoga. From what I understand, hot yoga is just hot temperatures in there. So.
And then I guess to follow up to that, and it might be for Mr. Simonson, is if we were to, in our motion, add the address and including the unit number, would that then, I guess, give clear that it only clearly defines it's only for that unit? Or would that be inappropriate because we haven't maybe found a potential detriment that needs to be mitigated?
Well, of course, whether there's a detriment or not will depend on the testimony that comes before you. I don't think, ever inappropriate to specify exact location.
Okay, thank you.
What would that do to competing mid-temperature and cold yoga studios that want to be in the same area?
I think the same thing, because I don't think our code doesn't say hot yoga has a conditional use permit. It's all yoga places have it. And they're all classified. Remind me, Miguel, they're classified under which? It's personal services of... Is that what it is? Is why it had to have the conditional use permit in that zone?
I'll look it up.
Okay. But it's not specific to just yoga. I think it's other fitness, and I think it's in the fitness training and so forth like that, that any of those uses would have to have.
And just to follow up, because I think there's some issues currently maybe with similar massage therapies that aren't hot yoga. Massage parlors would not be allowed under this conditional use because that's not in the definition of what this fitness allowance is, I guess.
Well, also, the yoga is a fitness, health and fitness place, whereas a massage is a has its own category in our zone. So
thank you. Just making sure. You wouldn't want to rub the neighbors the wrong way. I get it. Yeah.
You are on one. I'm going to let Miguel find his answer because I actually have another one for Miguel.
Sorry, it's somewhere in this table I saw. I'm not sure if it's instruction and training, the use, or... Sorry, I can try to answer your other question while I look for this.
Back to parking. So you've said that there's lots of parking, but have you verified that with all of the other uses in the building that there is adequate parking?
So as far as parking... It's in the hundreds, but as far as how much of that parking lot is used, I do not know. But considering this use, it only requires 23 stalls, so it's a very, very tiny lot. So it would require, perhaps, if you're looking at the aerial map, just one row of parking from one side of the building. That lot, I've not been over there when it's, you know, on a Monday through Friday working hours. I'm not sure how full it gets.
I have.
Okay.
And it's not even half full. It was originally built as a call center where they had hundreds of employees in there taking calls. It was the whole building was used as a call center for years. And then that kind of went away. And so they've struggled to actually keep tenants in there because it's too big of a building. So now they're dividing it up to smaller businesses, I guess.
Okay, so should it become a call center again, let's say, besides the yoga section, would we run into potentially a situation where there's not sufficient parking? I guess all I'm asking is to make sure that for the use or the square footage or whatnot, that parking is sufficient for the entire site.
Sorry, I did not hear your question. I found your answer, though. It's under the use instruction and training. That's what it falls under. And if you could repeat your question one more time.
And I don't know how many. It would depend on the use. Again, we look at that for each use that would come in there. Is there enough parking for it? If it's going to be in place of the yoga place, then we would do it that way. But if it's in place of, I don't even know if we have any idea what's in there now because it's not full. There's not obviously, the parking spaces aren't being used, so I don't think they have too many users inside there. But we can, and I don't. It hasn't been a call center for 15 years, so I don't think they're coming back anytime. But we would look at it if it was someone who's going to come in and occupy the entire building, and we'd have to make sure that there was enough parking for that, just like we do if Harmon's closed and went away. If something besides a grocery store came back, we'd have to look and see if that use would fit with the parking in that parking lot as well.
Does every use have to come before at least city staff?
Yes.
Okay. So that is something that's regularly checked?
It's because of business licensing.
Right.
We the planning department is one of the reviewing departments on all business licenses. So we look to see, okay, is it allowed in the zone? And if it is, you know, if it's something different, if it's in a CC zone that already has other uses, retail uses, and it's another retailer coming in, we usually don't have to worry about the parking because it was designed for that. But if it's something different that comes in, then we'd have to look at, see if it had enough parking. It's part of our review before we issue a business license.
Okay, thank you. Commissioners, questions?
I just have a general question about conditional use permit requests. So I'm looking at this and trying to figure out what kind of detrimental effects, not being a yoga business owner myself, like not thinking of what negative effects we might be looking to
mitigate.
What kind of training do we get on, you know, when we see this sort of conditional use permit, what are we looking for to mitigate?
That's a great question, especially for a relatively new commissioner to be asking. Really appreciate it. When you get a staff report such as the one before you, and it has a positive recommendation. They're going to say language like here that says deny the, one of your options is deny the conditional use permit if detrimental effects are identified. And as far as I can tell in the report, you have to exercise your independent judgment. There are no detrimental effects identified. But the reason we have these hearings is so that people can come forward and offer evidence of detrimental effects that staff may be unaware of or others may be unaware of. So if there's evidence presented of a detrimental effect that's maybe not identified in the report, then the second part of the analysis is, can that detrimental effect be mitigated reasonably, and what requirements may you make to mitigate the identified detrimental effects? And only after you've gone through that two-step analysis would you really consider denial of the conditional use permit. Does that answer your question?
It does. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. Other questions?
I have two questions. One for Miguel. In the staff report in the conclusions, it says, it mentions consistent with the city code pertaining to the A5 zone.
That's a mistake. That's
okay.
That's
a turn off. Okay. I just wanted to.
It's a CF.
Double check. We're in CF. Is correct. Okay. And then on this floor plan that we're looking at, I know it says there's the one ADA restroom, but there's not like measurements on the rest of the doorways and entryways. Have we checked to make sure that all of the rest of the floor plan is ADA compliant?
That's not our job.
Okay.
That is job of the when they have a building permit, they have a permit in. Probably, I would assume they have a permit in for to review. It's being reviewed for a tenant improvement.
Okay.
And the building department.
So that'll be under tenant improvement permits.
ADA requirements are under the building
okay.
code.
Okay. Is the applicant present? Would you like to add anything to the staff report at this time? I don't know if the applicant's present. Will you just raise your hand so I know? All right, I'm going to assume they're not present. We're going to open this up to public comment then at this time. If you've joined us this evening to speak to this item, we'd invite you to come to the podium. Anybody in our auditorium? Okay, let's go online. If you've joined us online, same as before, if you'd like to speak to this item, we just ask that you turn on your camera and give us a wave. You can also use the little raise hand feature. Okay, I don't think anybody's joined us online either to speak to this item, so I'm going to close public comment and bring it back to the commission. Commissioners, discussion, concerns, any other questions that we need cleared up? Okay.
Go ahead. My only thing is for the motion, I would like to see the exact address, including the unit included, just to be as specific as possible.
I certainly agree with that. That said, I can't think of really any detrimental effects for this area, for this use. It seems like an appropriate use of a large building with a large parking lot, so. Okay.
Since I said that, I would like to make a stab at it.
Please.
I move that based on the staff report and this evening's discussion that we, the Planning Commission, approve the conditional use permit file number PLCUP 2024-00047 for the new hot yoga studio located at 10975 South Sterling View Drive, number 100 in South Jordan, based on the findings and conditions that we have discussed.
Okay, we have a motion, any discussion? All right, I will second that then. Ms. Valdez.
Commissioner Gage?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
Commissioner Bishop?
Yes.
Commissioner Catmull?
Aye.
Commissioner Wimmer?
Aye.
And Commissioner Bevan?
Yes.
Okay, this item passes 6-0. You'll be able to go do some yoga here pretty quick, Mr. Wimmer. All right.
Bring on the goats.
All right. With that, we now move into our legislative public hearings. Just as a point of order for those that are in attendance, legislative items, we are a recommending body. So tonight's vote will allow us to make a recommendation to City Council, who will make the final decision on this item.
Madam Chair, may I interrupt, please?
Yes.
I asked to be recused, step down from the dais for this item, and hope to be invited back after the conclusion of your guys' action.
I approve. Thank you, Mr. Gedge. We'll invite you to join us in the auditorium. All right, so our item under the legislative public hearings this evening is the Tammy Lurcher, Charles Boick rezone from A5 to R2.5, and Miguel has our staff report.
So the applicant here is requesting a rezone of this property here. It's approximately 2.28 acres in size. The current zoning is A5 agriculture 5 here. They want to rezone to a residential single family R2.5, which is the zone shared by the neighboring properties to the north and east. The property lines here are about to go through a lot line adjustment through the county, so it's going to be readjusted. So this is the survey of that property as it exists, but the property boundaries will be this in the future once that lot line adjustment has been recorded at the county's office. And this provides a sample site plan the applicant submitted of a home that's going to be created on the square lot here. So essentially, the rezone here allows the applicant to build a home with a larger footprint than the A5 zone would allow. Currently, the A5 zone allows a 20% footprint of the lot. Under the R2.5, the building coverage can be 40% of the lot area. And so with that, staff recommends approval of the rezone from A5 to R2.5.
Which parcel are we looking at this?
Which parcel are we looking at this home footprint on that you just had up? Is that on like one or two?
Parcel two. So parcel two is the smaller one. That's the one that the applicant wants
Okay.
To build a home on.
Do we know what's going on parcel one?
As of right now, no concept plan is provided for parcel one. The larger of the two is going to remain vacant until the applicant or the owner submits something for future development.
But it would be R5 as well, or R2.5 as well?
At that point, whatever is built here would have to comply with the zoning standards of the R2.5 zone.
Is it usual to have something like this come forward but not have a concept plan for the entire property?
So I've only done two rezones, and for both of them, I've gotten concept plans, but for this second one, the concept plan was not submitted for the second one. I don't know, Greg. Usually, do they all get concept plans for rezones?
Not. It is required to have a concept plan for a rezone, but the concept in this case is only for that one lot. As far as I know, the owners don't plan anything at this point. If they decide to subdivide that and make a subdivision with multiple lots or something, then they would have to still go through the process of not really rezoning, but go through the process of a preliminary plat and so forth. And the concept plan, even though they have to provide one, they're not held accountable to that concept. So in this case, both the commission and the council, when they review it, you know what's probably going to happen on that smaller lot. But if they provided something, say, oh, that we're going to build homes, more homes on the other one, they
they could provide some hand-drawn concept plan that they would not have to follow through on. So they must have their own reasons for rezoning it now rather than just rezoning the R25. I'm not sure if the one lot on the R25, it's adjacent to other R25, so it's not, they wouldn't have had to probably rezone the rest of the property if they didn't want to, but maybe they're just in the future. You can ask the applicant why they haven't submitted anything on that, or maybe their future plans are, but either way, they wouldn't be held accountable to it because there's no development agreement associated with this rezone either.
Is this lot in a neighbor, like an established neighborhood where it would be a subdivision amendment, or would it be a new subdivision?
None of these properties are in any subdivision. Okay. And so currently they're all meets and bounds parcels.
Okay, so they'd be subject to just the density on this property if they were to do a subdivision.
Right.
Okay.
And we would never see this again after a rezone, correct? They would have the ability, as long as they comply with those 2.5 zoning.
You'd see a subdivision.
Okay.
If they just wanted to build one house on that large property, you probably wouldn't see that. But if they want to subdivide it, that comes before the Planning Commission.
Can you confirm that parcel 2 is in the northeast corner of this subject property?
So if you look at the exhibit, the arrow on the top right of the corner says north, and it's to your left.
It's probably confusing you because the aerial photo has that turned 90 degrees.
Right.
So.
Okay, I see it now. Thank you.
It's the northeast corner.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit about the road that accesses this property? I'm just trying to understand.
So that road currently, I believe, is private. So it's not a public road.
Mm-hmm. But it extends far enough for the...
So it extends all the way, the limit, the end of that road is where this parcel 2, it'll end where that parcel 2 is currently.
Okay. And then can you give us a little bit of information about the property line adjustment and why we're seeing this before that's final?
So the property line adjustment has to be done and recorded at the county. So I believe the applicant told me they have recorded that very recently, so it's not reflected yet in the county data that I was able to access. But as far as I understand, this is what was recorded so that it will change to reflect this boundary.
And so the movement is just on the east side, extending a little bit further east. Is the adjustment that's been made?
So the adjustment that's being made is, if you look at the original, mm-hmm. what Salt Lake County has, it has a large rectangle and then a triangle, very slim lot. That very slim triangle lot is being changed to this square lot to say they can build their home on there.
What it is with a property line adjustment, you can't increase the number of lots. So there were two lots there, that skinny little one that was... couldn't build anything on, and then the big one. So what they did is they reconfigured those two lots, and that's how they came up with this.
Made a single one.
So okay. It's being incorporated into one big lot.
No, there are two lots still. There's the skinny little triangle one on there. It was one lot. The big lot was two lots. Now there's still two lots. Huh. They just changed that.
Gotcha.
Changed that Okay. Move that made that little skinny triangle one into more of a square.
Now it's the northeast corner as a single lot, and everything else is incorporated into lot 2, parcel
right.
2. Okay.
Correct.
Okay, my stuff keeps reloading, and that's too small. What is the total acreage of parcel 1? Apparently I'm old and blind. I can't read that.
I'll pull it up on my computer because it's...
Okay. I tried and it just keeps reloading before I can get to the last page.
It's 2 point something acres. That's all I got.
Okay.
I have a paper copy here. So,
okay.
So the smaller lot looks like it's going to be 0.371 acres. And then the larger one is about 2....
Okay. And can we go back to the... No, don't even respond to me. Okay. Can we go back to the subdivision overhead view? So we can see that, like, the road ends. Is there some sort of turnaround in there for fire? Or is what is... If it's a private lane, is it wide enough at this point? Are they going to have to do any public improvements on that?
So with the concept plan that they proposed adding a hammerhead.
Okay.
Currently, the lane just kind of ends, yeah. And there's no turnaround. And so this would be an improvement.
So that will be required of them?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that'll be required for approval of that single lot development.
They will also have to go through a small residential development process through, and that's a staff review of, you know, and so that those kind of things would come up at that point as well.
Okay. Do you know why the lot lines were the way they were? I'm a little bit surprised to see a lot like that little triangle. It doesn't have a great purpose. Is there a main, a water main? Is there...
So I don't really know the history of this area. From what I understand, and I've seen some, because I was working with Matt Jarman earlier today, and it looks like this area back before 2014 used to have many, many more smaller parcels and weird shapes and things like that, but really no more, much more than that.
Does combining those two lots, that property adjustment, allow the remaining property additional lots within the 2.5 zone, or does it remain the same? What would be able to fit into that area?
The larger lot?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not entirely sure. It has not been subdivided yet. I don't know at this point.
Well, with the, if it gets the rezone to R25, I mean, they can, if they want to develop it, we could develop it with the same density, 2.5 units per acre.
Okay.
So, but at that point, when they subdivide it, they will have to provide access to a public street. So that'll be a, because this lot is not a subdivision, they can still build on this lot through the small residential development without having frontage on a public street. But when they go through the subdivision process, they will have to put in a public street all the way from, more than likely from closest one, which is 10th West, all the way down there would have to be a public street to access it, unless the city engineer approves a private street. Then the private street would have to be built to the standards of what the public would be done with width and so forth. So,
is what's shown here a subdivision that would come later?
That's not a subdivision. That's result of the property line adjustment. There were two lots. There's still two lots.
Got it.
That's okay. Just me speculating. Sorry.
All right. Commissioners, other questions? Is the applicant present? Would you like to add anything to the staff report this evening?
He doesn't hear very well, so this. I'm Tammy Lurcher. This is my dad, Chuck Balk. It's his property. He just gave me a little parcel so I can build on it, being as I grew up here in South Jordan. I want to be there. So he can tell you more about the parcel.
Okay.
So
that'd be great.
Right now, I'm not planning on developing anything on there, on the big lot. The rezoning, mostly wanting to do that because Salt Lake County is taxing me commercial residential anyway because it's not in compliance with A5. None of those lots that are in that A5 zoning area, there isn't any of them that are 5-acre lots. They're all under 5 acres. So by changing it to the R25, it would put us in compliance with South Jordan zoning rules.
Okay. Commissioners, questions for the applicant while he's up here?
I've got a couple. Do you guys know why that little teeny lot was like that? Do you have any idea?
Yes, I do know why it's like that. But when they start developing that subdivision that's on the east, the original owner only bought up to within 5 feet of the fence line. And then they decided they wanted, when they resurveyed it, the old surveys went by the old fence lines, and the new surveys showed that it come in further. So South Jordan City and the developer made that slit into a parcel, but it was still my property. The prospective right of way, I mean, not the prospective right of way, what they call that, the adverse possession laws gave it to me anyway. But anyway, that's how it come into effect, and it ended up getting back into my property because the developer over there went under, and then the city gave that parcel to another guy, and he went under, and the bank took it over, and they wanted me to buy it from them. I told them it's already mine. And they said Salt Lake County come and was going to sell it for back taxes. So I went and bought that, paid the back taxes on it, and got it back. But that was the process, what happened. That's how it got developed there into a lot.
And there's no existing home on the property currently?
No.
Okay.
On that triangle?
On either?
On either parcel, no.
Okay.
I own four parcels right there. My home is on one parcel. My other daughter and me own the other parcel. And then it's 2-point-something acres was the big parcel. And so that's basically why I'm trying to change the zoning on that. But I'm not planning on developing that.
So are you the adjacent property owner to the west then?
To the... What's that?
To the west, you are. Yes, he is.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
All right, other questions? Okay, thank you very much. If anything comes up during public comment, we may ask for you to come back up.
Okay. All right. I kind of had a question.
Sure.
On when they rezone, if that rezones to 2.5.
Or 2.5, yeah.
Yeah. Or 2.5, whatever it is. right now it's used for agricultural. I've got animals on it. Would that change the effect of me having how many animals I can have on it? Because if you got over an acre, from what I understand, you can still have up to 3 animals on that property.
I'm going to let staff answer that question because I know there's also fencing requirements between different uses. So Miguel, can you answer?
Yeah, so if the rezone goes through and the property is changed from A5 to R2.5, then the property will lose its animal rights.
Will it be required to put a fence in between that property and the A5 to the west?
I believe if there are animals on the neighboring A5 property, then yes, there will be a fence, a masonry fence requirement, if there are animals on the neighboring A5 property.
Okay. Go ahead.
Just a little bit of correction. If the property has animals on it currently when the rezoning occurs, they can keep those animals on that property until they develop it. Once if they start to develop it, then the R25 zone doesn't allow it. But just being zoned R25 doesn't reduce their animal rights, but they have to have animals on there. If the animals go away for any particular for a period of what we have been told, at least 1 year, then they lost their rights. But as long as there's animals on it now, then they can keep them on there with that zoning.
But once Miss Lurcher builds her home,
no, not her. Yeah, she has less than an acre, less than a half acre. She couldn't have any animal rights on it, even if it was zoned agricultural.
But once she builds her home, the rest of the property, still, if it currently has animals.
Because development is the subdivision, is the development.
Okay.
Not what they build on it, but the development. So,
I
Yeah, and he's had a few cows on there forever, and he's got electric fences and stuff up, and I'll have a fence, so it won't be a problem.
Okay, but you understand what the limitations will be?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you. At this time, I'm going to open up this item to public comment. If you've joined us this evening to speak to this item, we invite you to come forward and address the commission. You'll have 3 minutes to present your evidence. Please.
Hello, I'm Terry Balk. I live at the end of the road, the dirt lane on 10th West, to the south of the lane. I'm just curious how they're going to access that property back there. On his deed for that property, there's only a 15-foot access that goes for 440 feet down to my father's, the first house down the lane, and then it widens to 30 feet and then goes down into his field. So are they going to need to widen and make it a public road like they did across the street with sidewalk, curb and gutter, making it 45 feet? Because I own almost 2/3 of the lane that everybody's driving on. And we've been through court. I mean, we've had surveys done. Their surveys are an interpretation of the man doing the survey. It's not an exact science. So there's probably 7 or 8 surveys that are going along. And if you look at his survey that he just showed, it doesn't show him going clear to the subdivision fence. And that is a part of his property. And that was proven in court in 2020. So I'm just...
Can you provide your address?
10431 South, 1000 West.
Okay, that is something we will ask staff to get clarification on after public comment.
All right.
Thank you. Mr. Gedge.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Nathan Gedge, 873 West, 10375 South. I'm the property owner directly to the north of Lot 2. I would like to say I'm in favor of the rezone to 2.5, and I'm glad that staff answered one of my concerns, which was to protect the animal rights of Mr. Bauck for his remnant of Lot 2 on that. So thank you for answering that. So one last question for me to ask. My other concern was, of course, the road, which... Terry Bauck just asked you as well. And then the third, I know I want to thank staff for answering some questions regarding the maps in your staff report, including on page 107 of the staff report, reference a survey that the county has from 2009. I know Mr. Chuck Bauck has a survey with him that it was completed earlier this year, 2024, which alleviates all concerns that I have regarding property boundaries, regarding my property, and so I have no concerns with this application, and I thank the Bauks for putting it in. This is actually probably the best possible venue for my personal residence, and so I thank you for your time, and good luck in your discussion.
Thank you. Are there others that have joined us to speak to this item? All right, let's go to our online platform. If you join us this evening to speak to this item, we would ask that you turn on your camera and give us a wave. And then we'll allow you to address the commission just as those that are here in person have been allowed to. Okay, I'm not seeing anybody online, so I'll bring it back to the commission and close public comment. Staff, and Jeremy, this is probably a question for you. Can you talk to us about that private lane and what type of a circumstance would, I guess, prompt the city to require it to go up to a full public street standard? And if that's not a you question, we can ask Miguel.
I can speak a little bit to it. I'm not sure I'll be able to answer all the questions about that. But it's kind of a judgment call on... I mean, obviously, this is a fairly long road. It's dead end, but it's an existing condition. ideally, if this was like a new development, we would like it to be loop and have a couple of access points. But you know, this is an existing condition, and so we're trying to be sensitive to landowners. And so, you know, like with this single lot development, the fire chief and the city engineer were not concerned with adding one more home onto that dead-end street and putting a hammerhead at the end of the road. Felt that was an improvement and didn't see a need to consider any further public improvements to provide access to that home. As far as private lane, ownership of the private lane, I have no idea. That would be county surveyor and, you know, recorded deeds and all of that stuff would need to be looked into.
Did fire have any concerns if there was further development over there? You mentioned they're okay with one extra home on the dead end, but if there were multiple new homes, did they make any comment about that?
You know, it's no, there's not been like there's no statement of how many homes could be added. I think it'd just be application by, you know, case by case basis.
I have a question if I can put in real quick. Mm-hmm. On our agenda under this I-1, the applicant's name is spelled differently. Do we know which one it is? One is Couch, one is Bauck.
Bauck. B-O-U-C-K. I don't know where that Couch came from.
We'll call it autocorrect.
I corrected it on the agenda. For the chairman there, just so.
Okay. Perfect.
With the hammerhead at the end of the road, whose property is that going to be built on?
Actually, the commission will have to, if you have something to add up there, call you up.
So part of that access is going to be on lot parcel 2, but it looks like the other part is going to be on lot 1.
So all of the hammerhead will be on this particular property that we're viewing?
Both of these. Right here.
Well, I mean, just... On this owner's property, it won't affect any other homeowners.
He owns both, so he just owns this owner's.
Excellent.
Can we go back to the location map or one of the maps that show the entire property? Okay, that's totally fine. Miguel, could you come and like draw? I guess I'm just not seeing the direction because all the other things are rotated. Where lot 2 is sitting on this map?
Right here.
You can come up here.
Is it just up here in the
northeast corner?
Okay, so then
Matt will let you draw on it with your finger.
A skill you need.
Sorry, I need child's pictures to understand this one.
You're about to get some new skills.
Does this count as training hours too?
I wish. I wish we used this.
So if you could just kind of like draw where like the hammerhead is and where like lot parcel, I guess it's parcel 2 is sitting, looking at it like this.
You can just draw right on the screen.
Roughly something like this. Roughly.
Okay, and then where's the hammerhead?
It's okay. We'll know. Unless it's the same shape and size and location.
So it looks like roughly something like this. That makes sense.
While you're there, at the southwest corner of this property, there appears to be a green square. Is that property also owned by the same individual? Are we creating a situation where somebody's going to be cut off from their property?
I'm sorry, where?
The southwest corner. Mm-hmm. It's not in the red lines. It's adjacent to the west boundary on the south end. There's just a square of green grass that when I look at
that belongs to the property that the houses are sitting on. Mm-hmm. There, that's all one piece.
And same owner.
Okay. And
this?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Somebody got this.
Sorry, I got it in there clear.
Thank you.
Thank you, Miguel.
All right, well, this evening, the only thing before us is a rezone. Based on what's adjacent to this, the fact that there's other zonings near this that are 2.5, and the fact that it looks like everything that's 8.5 anyway in that area is, correct me if my term is wrong, Greg, non-compliant but grandfathered? What is there a special term?
Correct. I mean, back in the day when most of these homes were probably built and those properties were there, the only zone that the city might have had, or if you even had zoning, because it was, they're all, you know, we didn't have a zoning map until 1971. So if these were built prior to that, they all had the agricultural zone that the county probably attached to it out there. So, and since, and as far as I can tell, nobody's divided any property since then either. And this is probably the first, it's not a division, but it's the first change in property other than what Mr. Bauck talked about, is that subdivision to the east. They evidently bought so much property, but they only went up to a fence line, like he explained, and that left that little weird triangle. That's because of that. They did. So yeah, it's, but that's why there's a lot of properties in the city that are A5 that don't have anywhere near 5 acres, the minimum lot size. So. And some are even only a half acre, because they were, back before we had zoning, the Bucks could have done something like, they could have just went through a meets and bounds description and created another lot. And there was no zoning back in those days, so.
Actually, do you have one more question, Miguel? Is the size of lot one, two, sorry, which one are they building on?
Two.
Is that big enough that it could be accommodated under an R1.8, or is R2.5 what would be required?
So as a standalone lot, it would not meet the density for the R1.8.
Okay, and so that's why the 2.5. All right.
And also because 2.5 is already existing, basically adjacent to the property, so that's why we found it most appropriate to rezone it to that.
Okay. All right, commissioners, question, discussion?
Can I ask a question of one of our participants from the audience?
I think an applicant would be appropriate. Without a motion, we'd have to, which you can certainly make, if you would like to change our rules for the evening.
I love changing rules, but no, thank you.
Okay.
So my only question is what Terry Bauck testified about, and sounds like there was some clarity to be achieved in the property ownership there, and that it might become a civil matter if that isn't able to be resolved amicably shortly. Does that let me think, does that impact the ability to develop? And it really doesn't, because right now we're just factoring in a rezone, right? Like, we can rezone it, but it doesn't have to be developed. That's going to be a...
Right, so that's why I personally feel okay tonight with the rezone, because we're not weighing in on a subdivision. We're not weighing in on what that road has to be. I presume, staff, please correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Bauck testified that There is a 15-foot easement granted on his property, and I assume that is sufficient for a fire truck in an emergency, that nobody at this time is asking for anything more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there weren't any concerns as they reviewed this, you know, for access.
Okay. I'm good then.
Mr. Bishop? Mr. Wimmer? I didn't mean to discourage you. If you would like to call on somebody.
I feel heartily discouraged, but no, it's fine.
Oh, man, you'll have to go do some hot yoga.
I'll make a motion.
I'm
we've done it before.
No,
we've
okay.
done it. We've done
I'm
it
okay.
lots of times.
I really am okay.
Okay. I don't have anything. I'm good with it. I think it'll be nice to have family all together, and I like what they're doing with it. So.
Fully supportive.
All right. I think we're ready for a motion then.
I'll make the motion.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, based on the presentation today and the materials in the packet which we have been going over, I move that the Planning Commission recommend that the City Council approve the following: Ordinance number 2024-06-Z, approving the zone change from agricultural A-5 to single-family residential R-2.5.
Why is the file number different from
which file number? Oh, well,
yeah. Why isn't the file number in the recommendation, the recommended motion? Is that something I've just never noticed? This one's different.
I think it's because it's zone, and it's going to be an
so
ordinance.
I put the ordinance number in the recommendation instead of the file number.
We could put,
but the ordinance number is what City Council will approve, right? Not
that's
the file.
Right.
The ordinance is what gets approved, not
okay.
the file.
All right. Thank you. Yep. Any other discussion on the motion? All right. I will second that, Ms. Valdez.
Commissioner Cantwell.
Aye.
Commissioner Hollis.
Yes.
Commissioner Bishop.
Yes. Commissioner
aye.
And Commissioner Bevin.
Yes.
Okay. This item will receive a positive recommendation of 5-0 to be forwarded to City Council. Again, we are not the deciding body on a legislative item, so City Council will have that final decision, and we wish you luck with your application to them. It does receive, like I said, a positive recommendation from this commission. So, and thank you for your participation this evening, both residents and the applicant. Commissioner Gedge, would you like to rejoin us?
Miguel, do we know when that's being heard at City Council?
Yeah, so it's on the agenda for May 7th of okay. the City Council.
All right, that concludes our legislative business this evening. Staff, any other business?
I can... As for your next meeting, there are currently two items on the agenda that might change. We'll have to change quickly, though, because we'll be noticing for that by the end of this week. The one item will be a subdivision in Daybreak, and the other item is a zoning text amendment that there was discussion on last week here with the commissioners that were here regarding some changes to the ADU site portion of our code. I sent you other, both Commissioner Bevins and Commissioner Hollis, I sent that today, a copy of what's being proposed. It's just a couple of lines. I can just summarize it as the main change, I guess, would be allowing exterior ADUs that are detached guest houses in all the single family residential zones, provided that they have the minimum third acre lot size, just like the R18, same reading as the R18 is now, but it would cover all of them. We don't think it's going to add any additional, because you can still only have one ADU per site. So if you this time it would give an option, I guess, to someone who would rather not rent out their basement, but if they have a big enough lot, they can build a guest house outside, but they can't have both. So And then the other, there's a couple of other changes, but those are mandated by the state. So that's what we're, I can't remember what those were.
I have a question about it. I didn't read what you sent today, sorry. But in the original for a couple weeks ago, it talked about internal ADUs and their description being changed. It took out some of the language that said it like needed a door to be separated from the rest of the dwelling, and all of that language is being taken out.
The state said you can't put that in.
Okay, so anything that has a second kitchen downstairs would basically be a kitchen and a bathroom, I believe it was, would be considered an ADU at this point.
And we have to allow them. So it's really, and the only thing we require now is that they get an ADU permit. We can't deny it if they meet the requirements of the state code. So.
Okay, so will the city, maybe this is a question for building, not planning, but will the city be allowing you to still file like a second kitchen covenant rather than an ADU permit if you're not intending to use it as an ADU?
That would be required. We can't really say that because you have one kitchen that it is an ADU either. So we have to let them, what we do now is we ask up front, what is the intent of your basement remodel? And if they say, oh, it's because I'm gonna rent it out, then we say you have to get an ADU permit, but they're still allowed to have it. So there's no reason for them to tell us lies or fibs if they just want, unless they wanna just avoid the, $135 fee, I guess. But that, other than that, and they have to still provide the parking space, but usually they'll find a way to do that.
Okay.
But we do ask when we accept those, we just basically make a comment in the building permit review. What is the intent of your, that you're gonna use your basement for?
And if they don't intend to use it as an ADU, they can still file that like second kitchen, whatever paperwork instead of ADU, okay. That was my only question about it.
Okay. Commissioners, any business?
I have one more question. Sorry. Yes. It's almost the middle of April. I know by this point we've usually had a meeting with City Council, joint session. Do we have anything on the calendar with them at this point?
Not that I know of. I think what Steve has said in the past that he'd like the commission chairman and the and the mayor to get together to decide when that might happen, because the council is not having any more meetings this month because they had the one, and that makes their May meetings pretty full. So I don't know if it's in those work sessions is when they usually have the joint meeting. So
was it something we said or did that they don't want to spend time with us?
They feel the same way maybe. Something you said or did, but no, I will bring that up with Steve so the next time that he's, even maybe he can pass that on to, I don't know, or I can pass it on to the city manager too, and so they can get the mayor and our commission chair to get together to decide what would be a good week to have it. I don't know how far in advance those study sessions are, but they're fairly full in May. That's all I know on that. I don't look farther beyond. So,
Mr. Simonson, would we be able to get training credit if we spent an hour with you discussing the possibility of adopting rules and regulations for our body and what's appropriate and how we might want to run our meetings, as well as potentially topics that we would want to discuss with City Council, specifically along the lines of items that this body reviews that may or may not be necessary?
Ultimately, that answer to that question has to be answered by Steve Schaefermeyer, but in my opinion, you could.
Commissioners, is that of interest? Is 2 weeks too aggressive of a timeline to get something like that together, to get approval from Mr. Schaefermeyer, and then I know a lot of that burden falls on you maybe Mr. Gedge knows too, but I feel like both you and he are aware of a lot of the items that we review that may or may not be necessary and might already have a list in mind.
I believe 2 weeks is too aggressive.
Okay. Then let's get Mr. Schaefermeyer's approval for those items. And the next time we have a light meeting come up, let's have that in the works so that can be our next training. I do worry that going into summer, we may not find a time where all available.
Just to follow up on the first part, maybe of a commission slash rules and or that in that interim, maybe, and I don't know if, you know, Greg, your Mr. Schindler, your counterpart in other municipalities, I brought it before. I served on another planning commission in another city. They had a printed, you know, commission council rules and procedures. Mr. Simons is probably aware because he probably helped draft them 20 plus years ago. But we can maybe do that so we don't have to completely recreate the wheel and see what other similar municipalities are doing, just so we can make sure, especially as some of us look for our next lives outside of this body, that we, you know, leave it in a good place.
I like that. I will start a group email, copy everybody on it, and we'll get that in the works so that we're not asking you to do something like that in just 2 weeks. We'll have it underway. Okay. Anything else?
I think once we hit summer, it's going to be difficult to hit everybody on a city council meeting as well, so that may need to wait until after summer if they're too busy.
I think it would also be appropriate once we've generated that list of things that we feel like are worth reviewing by this body and not that Absolutely. We have that meeting with them.
And they're also going to have the budget in the next couple of months, yeah, so they have to focus on.
We may be further into the year before we
That's
hit that,
okay.
Which is fine.
We'll ask to get invited to their Halloween party. All right, anything else? All right, I'm going to move that we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.